one application of HAARP has always been speculated to be some kind of mind control or some kind of control of human beings.
Right, and this goes back to, references by Brzezinski in Between Two Ages, the book he wrote while at Columbia University, and he was referring to J.F. Gordon McDonnell's work, who was a geophysicist at UCLA, who was a science advisor, incidentally, to President Johnson, and what he was suggesting is that if we could ever figure out how to electronically stroke the ionosphere in just the right way, we could return a signal to the Earth that would manipulate the behavior
of human beings.
Of human beings over large geographic areas. And so then you take that and you kind of look at, say, the work of Jose Delgado at Yale University, and he started by mapping the brain, and by the mid-80s he was using radio frequency signals at 1/50th of what the Earth naturally produces, very small energy concentrations, well within the capability of HAARP, according to the HAARP planners, are able to manipulate the behavior and brain chemistry of humans. Like
in what manner?
Well, taking them from, say, highly aggressive to very passive, as an example, by being able to affect with these external signals where the brain will actually entrain, will lock onto those external signals operating within what's called a window frequency, and these are the where the action is. It's like dialing through the radio tonight to get to this program. You know, people got mostly static between the stations, but when they had resonance, harmony between the transmitter and receiver, you got a nice clear signal and they got to hear our voices. Well, the same is true with every single thing that exists, you know, and particularly living organisms. And the understanding of that allows you then to manipulate the biochemistry of human beings or anything else if you do it intentionally. More importantly, what's happening today on the planet is accidentally, because you've got these huge interactions between electromagnetic fields and chemicals that we're introducing on an increasing basis that are causing all kinds of problems.
There's no shortage of wars. We're involved in one at the moment. So if we had weapons that could control minds, would we not have already been using them? Or maybe a better question is, have we already used them?
That's the better question. And the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, you know, if you go back, there was a report done going back to the 70s. It was a presidential report on the Central Intelligence Agency, June 1976, where they actually slapped the CIA for their mind control experiments. But when you look at more recent conflicts, the first Gulf War, when all those guys were surrendering in mass.
Yes.
You know, there was a Scottish press report that came out after the war, something we had speculated on, saying that the most devastating weapon was an infrasound technology where they embedded signals on the radio broadcast, broadcasting the Muslim music and prayers in a way that created fear and panic in the population. And when you look at what happened to the fourth largest army in the world, you know, it kind of makes a lot more sense than the excuses we've heard, which is bombardment, you know. But think about dumping ordnance in London or any of the communities during World War II, you know, it would happen consistently at civilian populations.
Well, I certainly do recall the astounding headlines that people, soldiers, were giving up in these massive, incredible, unreasonable numbers. I mean, just giving up
bloody,
like crazy.
You think
it was used?
Yeah, I do, actually. You know, there's, you know, this device that they announced some years ago, this radio frequency dish that's mounted on a Humvee.
Yes.
And they talked about it for heating the surface of the skin and so on. You know, that's all true and plausible, but if you look at the radio frequency dosimetry handbook commissioned by the United States Air Force Science Advisory Board at the University of Utah, you can find out that by tuning that, by changing its frequency, wave, form, pulse rate, or any number of parameters, you can affect any vital organ of the body in a devastating way, causing heart attack in a crowd, for instance, or manipulating the lungs, liver, kidneys, etc. And, you know, that's what they don't tell you. As they introduce new technologies to the battlefield, they give you sort of the plausible story for why this thing is sitting there. But the use of radio frequency energy, when you look at the research, it's pretty astounding. And in all three of the books that we've written, there's over 1,350 sources cited. The DVDs we've produced have the same kind of...
Now, let me ask you about the DVD. What's the DVD? Talk about that.
What we did is we produced actually two of them. One is the one on mind control, and it deals with this whole topic and kind of breaks down sort of the sinister side of what's happening and how that technology evolved, but then flipping that around, talking about some of the things happening in this area, from brain biofeedback to light and sound devices, you know, electroacupuncture, some of the things happening in energy science is pretty exciting, and we demonstrate a lot of that. The other one is technologies of the 21st century, which is four subjects. It deals with the updates on HARP, which people have asked for a number of years now, and so we try to do that in a good way. Also, underwater sonars and their implications globally. We get into that. Cell phones, we get into a bit. And then the privacy-related technologies show sort of how those interconnect and where.
Doctor, do you have any private individuals that have been monitoring HARP for you? I would imagine you do, and so you probably know when HARP is very active, don't you?
Well, from time to time. You know, I don't work with anyone consistently, and that's been a bit of a problem in terms of getting really good reports that are reliable on HARP. But, you know, what we've seen over the years, you know, again, they've continued to increase it. The funding continues to flow. And when you look at what they've already demonstrated to get the existing funding, it's pretty amazing. And the implications of it, you know, aren't, there's no stretching. It's just taking their own literature and collating it in a way where people can see it in one place. And that's essentially what we've done on these technology areas. And I think that's, these are the most important areas, I think, for us in this century, are going to be these very areas where we now have this unique capability as human beings of doing these things. And the big question is, should we?
Should we be doing them? And who is it who is asking those questions?
Well, that's the problem, because, you know, the Air Force budget, their equipment budget alone, about 40% of it are for black projects that even the Congress doesn't even get to know what they're putting up the money for. When you start throwing that kind of money, billions and billions, into these kinds of efforts without any oversight,
yes,
bureaucracies decide. And underlying government, you know, my dad was in the Congress for you know, a while, and he was in state politics here in Alaska for a while. And the thing about it is, politicians come and go. Bureaucracies sort of live forever. And so at one level, these projects have advanced through Republican and Democratic administrations, and you kind of follow the trends, and we have. And at the end is this very profound change. In fact, the military published a document. We have it as on one of the CD-ROMs that goes with the DVDs, and it's A Revolution in Military Affairs. It was written by the U.S. Army War College, and it's this document that sort of lays out how do you introduce all these technologies, you know, without people being really upset about it, you know, because a lot of them infringe on personal privacy, liberty in a lot of different ways.
Indeed.
And they said, through an environment of fear, this is written back in 1989, and they said, in an environment of fear stimulated by international terrorism and international drug trafficking, Americans would, you know, forego their traditional values in favor of this sense of greater security.
Safety, yes.
So here we are, you know. I mean, and, you know, you think about international terrorism as a, or terrorism generally in the United States over, say, the last 15 years, and it might amount to 5,000 deaths, which is substantial, a number of Americans. But when you compare that by, for instance, by
Highway deaths
or medical malpractice, which killed in the same 15 years 1.5 million Americans, according to Harvard. You don't see anything in the newspapers about that.
Mm-hmm.